You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everybody, it's Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we're looking to trade the pick. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by Michael F. Florio and Laquan Jones. And I don't even know, I know this is a football show, but have you guys looked at the tournament brackets at all?
No. Sorry.
I do too, just that I do with some friends of mine. I will admit, I filled them out, and then I heard people already saying, like, this is a team not to pick, and I'm like, oh, I had that team going to, like, the Sweet 16, so admittedly, I know nothing. I'm just guessing.
I know zero about it. I was saying before the show, like, it used to be that Selection Sunday was my everything. In fact, I remember as a child, I would get, like, when the bracket came out, I would get four like sheets of, like, you know, paper, and each one was its own bracket. I would draw my own brackets and fill them in as the tournament went on and everything. Like, like this year, I didn't even watch Selection Sunday. I didn't even watch the selection show.
I forgot that it's on in the afternoon in Pacific time.
Yeah. In fact, I feel like it was on earlier this year than it had been in the past.
It was like 2 p.m. and it was over. I was like, what the?
Yeah, my friends were texting
where did
me like
the day go?
My friends were texting me like 3:15. I'm like, wait, I thought it didn't usually start until now, but that shows you kind of how things are for me in college basketball. That's all.
This is a football show, but last college basketball thought for me, ever since they broke up the original Big East, it does not have the same appeal to me.
You know, it's funny because I'm not, you know, I'm a West Coast guy, but like I remember a couple years ago, like it was like Georgetown and St. John's were playing at like noon on a Monday or whatever. And I'm like, this used to be like appointment television when these two teams played. And now they're just like a throwaway game or whatever. Time, it marches on. Anyway, we are talking fantasy football here. We got plenty to dive into on this one. Still some movement, some player movement. I guess it's technically free agency, but some trades that are going to have a big impact on both the NFL and fantasy football. So we will dive into that. We will also get into some draft needs. We'll go through Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft because DJ went wild on this one. So some things that could definitely shake some things up. We'll dive into that. But also, Matthew Betts is going to stop by. Talk some Dynasty Football. He is part of the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Pod, which you can hear as part of the NFL Podcast Network. So we will talk to Matthew about some of the things that may have shaken up the rankings with guys changing teams in the free agency period. But let's start with some things that happened after we last spoke to you on Thursday, which, side note, by the way, everybody who jumped in who watched our first streaming show, the first edition of the Cheat Sheet. We are super, super, super grateful. We thought it went well. We are going to keep doing it. We will do another one for you this coming Thursday and all throughout the off season. But just a big thank you to everybody who jumped in on the first episode. We heard from a lot of you in the comments. I heard from a couple of people afterwards on social media, and the response was definitely positive. So we are encouraged and we are grateful, and hopefully you guys keep supporting the show all throughout the off season. In the meantime, some of the things that happened after we signed off on Thursday, the Bears have been busy. Apparently the spring has come and Bears are out of hibernation now, and they are moving around and doing all sorts of things. So a couple of notable moves for Chicago. Keenan Allen is now a Bear as part of a trade from the Los Angeles Chargers in exchange for a fourth round pick. This comes after Allen refused to restructure his contract and take less money after having what he said was the best year of his career. So he goes to Chicago. In the meantime, Justin Fields is packing his bags and no longer is in the Windy City. He goes from there to the Steel City in Pittsburgh to the Steelers in exchange for a conditional 2025 sixth round pick. First thoughts, either of you surprised at how little the Bears got for Justin Fields in return?
Not really. I mean, it turns into a fourth if he ends up getting on the field, but I think they did right for him. I'm not really surprised.
I was the exact opposite. I was completely shocked. I didn't think they were going to get like a first for him, but a sixth. I know it's a conditional sixth, but a sixth. Like I tweeted the other day. I was like, I'm shocked that Justin Fields went for this little. I'm shocked that that the Steelers just didn't even make it a competition. They were just like, he's our backup. And I was shocked that if a six was all you can get, why did the Bears not hold on to? I understand you don't want it to make it a thing, but like, he is the best backup quarterback arguably in the NFL now, and you just let him walk for a sixth?
It did feel like they sort of just handed him over for like, you know,
please take him.
ham sandwich, basically. I'm surprised they didn't wait till maybe after the draft when teams have drafted quarterbacks and we have a better idea of the landscape. And maybe at that point, somebody's a little bit more desperate and you're able to get a little bit more out of them. But it was sort of becoming apparent as this thing went on that the market for Justin Fields maybe wasn't what we anticipated back in January or February when the first parts of this conversation were starting to happen. But the Bears move on from Justin Fields. So let's talk about Chicago, first of all, because there are a lot of teams that are impacted by this. First in Chicago, they've got Keenan Allen. They've got DJ Moore. They also have the number 9 pick, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit later on. So, Florio, for you, as you sit here right now, who is the wide receiver 1 in Chicago?
I think it's DJ Moore. I think that DJ Moore he'll be the traditional wide receiver 1 for the Bears. I think that he'll be the first wide receiver drafted in fantasy. But really, I think it's a 1A, 1B type of situation. I looked back at, so last season, DJ Moore, 80% of his routes came out wide, 17 from in the slot. Keenan Allen, 41% out wide, 52% in the slot. You know what that kind of reminds me of? The way Shane Waldron has used DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett in Seattle. Now, I'm not saying that DJ Moore is the same physical specimen that DK Metcalf is.
Few people are.
So. Yeah, very, very few are. But I could see DJ Moore being used in that way, and and Keenan Allen kind of being used like Tyler Lockett has been. So I think there'll be some weeks where Keenan Allen outscores Moore, some weeks where Moore outscores Keenan. But I think because of age that DJ Moore is going to be the first one drafted, and that's fine. I'm probably going to take the approach, like if I could get a round or two discount on Keenan Allen, I'll take that. The bigger concern I have, and Marcus, maybe you could speak on this because you've watched Caleb more than me or Laquan, I'd imagine. I think he's going to target out wide a little bit more than the slot and be a downfield aggressive type of thrower. But how do you think this plays out with these guys?
I mean, I think Keenan Allen will still get plenty of targets. Caleb will target the guy who gets open. The spectacular plays you see from him are those deep shots. A lot of those plays are things that happened out of structure. And, you know, sadly frustrating leave for me as an SC fan. There were too many of those plays last year. There were just a lot of things where it was like things would break down and Lincoln Riley was basically like, all right, Caleb, go. And you can do that for a while. It works to a point, but not all the time. But when things are in structure, part of the reason people love him as a prospect is because even when things are right and the pocket is clean, he will stand there and he can deliver the football. He will deliver it on time, on target. He will find the open guy. He has a very easy motion that is incredibly repeatable. There are just so many things about him that are just fundamentally sound. It's just that the plays that open your eyes and make the highlight shows are the, you know, he evades two guys in the pocket. He rolls out and suddenly he finds somebody 40 yards downfield for a touchdown. So I think that both DJ Moore, both Keenan Allen work. I think, you know, it's a really good group for him to work with. So I still think he's the pick at number one. I would be shocked if the Bears did anything else but draft him at number one. So I think it's going to be fine with the receivers he has there. Now he's got two quality wide receivers, two veteran guys who can help his development along a lot.
You might have three. I mean, then you might have three.
You might have two veterans and a rookie. Could happen. Definitely could happen. But Laquan, I mean, looking at this, right? They've got the two receivers there. Yeah. They went out and they added DeAndre Swift in free agency to go along with Roschon Johnson and Khalil Herbert. If this Waldron offense, I would think you're going to draft Caleb Williams. You're going to feature Caleb Williams. You're going to throw the football a lot. Are you totally out on the running backs now in Chicago? Were you ever in on the running backs in Chicago?
I mean, I love Khalil Herbert. I mean, you could just go down my timeline and just see how much I love this dude. He's such a great runner, but there's obviously other running backs that are going to be involved in that Bears backfield. So I'm not totally out on a DeAndre Swift because we kind of know what he brings to the table. I mean, I look at him as a career running back that's going to share time, but he's going to be very efficient with his touches. So I think he does have some RB2 upside. I mean, you could probably get him as an RB3, but if the price is right for DeAndre Swift, I might be in just based on this offense overload that they're setting up Caleb Williams. Like, you're going to have to use these weapons. You're going to have to move Keenan Allen in the slot in the outside. You're going to have to move him around, and you're going to have that 9 pick. And I say they go full blown overload, you know, with the offense of adding another wide receiver there, or maybe a tight end. I don't know. But what I'm saying is overall, like, I'm not completely out on the running backs. They just have to be at the right price, because each Bears running back last year had 115 touches each. Like, that is complete nasty work. They're just eating off each other's plates.
Yeah, that's rough, man. I see you nodding, Florio. So I'm assuming you're still in on DeAndre Swift.
No, I
this is the second time he did
that. I love that.
It's like nodding like, yep. Mm-hmm,
No, I agree with everything LQ said. I think that DeAndre Swift was brought here to be the lead back. I think they paid him, and I typically am a like follow the money because they know what they have in Herbert and Roschon, and they still decided the minute the tampering window opened to give DeAndre Swift a boatload of money. But I agree. I think that he's a borderline RB2. He'll have some nice weeks, but if he struggles, there's other options there that could eat into his workload. Plus, maybe the touchdown opportunities go up because he's not on Philly and he doesn't have to just tush push, but is he going to see the target volume? Because to me, Caleb, what he excels at is, like you were saying, Marcus, keeping the play alive with his legs and keeping his eyes downfield while doing that for that big 30, 40 yard splash play. I don't think he's going to feel pressure and be like, where's DeAndre Swift? I need to get rid of this ball real quick. So the other thing I was thinking, though, when the Bears easily could take a wide receiver, and I think it would be smart given Keenan Allen's age, but man, that receiver is going to get JSN'd again, just like JSN did by Shane Waldron.
That was my thought, man. Like, it's like, it seems great. It's great for Caleb. It's great for the Bears. It would stink for that particular receiver. Yeah. It wouldn't be great for fantasy if that were to happen.
Just have to be patient, man. Got to be patient.
But speaking of wide receivers, so the Chargers, they let go of Mike Williams. They trade Keenan Allen. LQ, does this guarantee they take a wide receiver at number five?
I hope so. Or, you know, a little chaos that we'll get to later. You know, they trade down. But I'm a little worried, man, to be honest, if they don't take a wide receiver. But you have to get a pie of this, you know, the one of the three alpha wide receivers that are still on the board. Odunze, I would like there. Malik Nabers. I mean, obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. You have to pick at least one to get Herbert, some type of splash player out there. Some guy that's going to come off, you know, out of camp with the knowledge and chemistry with Herbert. You need a guy that's going to be there to be a playmaker and change the dynamic of this offense, because we know they're going to run the ball, but you still need a receiver out there that's going to be demanding, you know, all these targets and get the play action going, et cetera, et cetera.
Everything the Chargers have done this offseason says they want to run the football.
Yep.
They let those wide receivers go.
Two blocking tight ends.
They bring in two blocking tight ends. They bring in Gus Edwards. You got Jim Harbaugh. You've got Greg Roman, guys who have traditionally been a run first offense. Everything says they want to run the ball. This is still the NFL where you have to be able to throw it effectively.
Yeah.
I'm not sold. I think Greg Roman and Harbaugh are looking right now and they're like, get us Joe Alt or someone like that, that we can build our O-line around for the next decade. And receivers are so deep. I think they're going to trade down, get an O-lineman in the first, and then probably pick up a second pick in the second round or something like that. And then you get some receivers there.
All right. So all that being said, as of this moment, Florio, how are we feeling about Justin Herbert? I mean, this is a guy who for the last couple of years has been a lock as a top 10 quarterback drafted. Is he still that lock to be a top 10 quarterback drafted?
Let me start off by saying that I had picked Justin Herbert to be the NFL MVP a year ago. I am fading Justin Herbert as of right now because I truly believe they're going to be move over Baltimore. Tennessee doesn't have Henry anymore. Like, the Chargers are going to be the new team that I believe leads the league in rushing percentage, or at least attempts to. You look at the wide receivers, there's a lot to be desired. You look at the running backs, like, pass catching wise, there's a lot to be desired. New offensive system, I don't know if you guys, J.J. McCarthy, they said, if you see like a one-on-one out wide, can you audible to a go route? And his response was, I wish. So I don't know how much. I think Justin Herbert's a really good quarterback. I just don't think he's going to get nearly the amount of volume to. And because of his name and muscle memory, which is something that we talk about a lot on the show, I think people are going to pull him up to be a low-end QB1. I'd rather, there's quarterbacks that I would take ahead of him, and then there's a bunch that I would rather wait and just get some more upside on later in the draft.
He had a career low 241 passing yards per game this past season. I think that number comes down maybe another 20 yards. 20-30 yards this year in
nasty
this offense. I mean, it is. It's in part because of the philosophy of the guys running the offense. It's because of the personnel. I really do think that Justin Herbert, in terms of fantasy, is going to fall off a cliff. I would hope, though, that Jim Harbaugh would see that he has this big, tall, strong-armed quarterback and would allow him to audible to a go route. Yeah, J.J. McCarthy's, I think, a little bit of a different animal. But I would hope that they'd like, hey, Herbo, you see Josh Palmer with like one-on-one coverage and you think he can win? Like, yeah, give it a shot. I was going to say Quentin Johnston, but I don't think they would do that for Quentin Johnston. Not yet.
I don't think we're there yet.
Not yet.
Too soon.
More wide receiver news and free agency. Mike Williams has a new home. He is changing coasts, going from Los Angeles to New York. He had been released by the Los Angeles Chargers. He now signs with the New York Jetropolitans, 1 year worth up to $15 million for this one. Look, the Jets needed wide receiver help, right? I mean, Garrett Wilson was awesome last year, despite having some really bad quarterback play. So this feels like a big step in the right direction, especially having a guy who does some very different things to Garrett Wilson. This feels like a big plus for this Jets offense right now.
No, I agree. They're getting a guy that could stretch the field, and we know how acrobatic, you know, catches that, you know, Mike Williams does. He does a little bit of everything that, you know, Aaron Rodgers desperately needed outside of Garrett Wilson. I mean, honestly, they were getting the Alan Lazars, the Randall Cobbs, like, stop. Go out and get a guy that, you know, has this proven talent. But my only concern here, honestly, is if he could stay healthy. Only 16 games in the last two seasons. Like, if he could give us a full season of, you know, recovery, obviously, because he was returning back from injury last season, but a full healthy season, I think he could really make a difference on this offense.
I feel like that is going to be a consistent theme with the Jets offense, is that can they keep these guys healthy? You mentioned Mike Williams coming off injury. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old coming off an Achilles tear. They signed Tyron Smith, who had a lot of great years in Dallas, but has had his injury issues recently. Elijah Vera Tucker, also on that offensive line, has had his share of injury issues. So I get, look, the Jets are taking some big swings, and if this offense is healthy and everybody's on the field, they're going to be really, really scary to deal with. The question is, can they stay healthy over an extended period of time? But lots to like. There are plenty of targets to be had. Mike Williams, potentially a downfield threat. We know Aaron Rodgers can still throw a good deep ball. This could potentially could be really, really interesting. The other team obviously heavily involved in this are the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, Laquan, who starts more games at quarterback, Russ Wilson or Justin Fields?
Ooh, I mean, I don't know. But I think Russell may get the start and he might end up having more games, but his lease is going to be very short. I mean, honestly, I'll give it 6 to 8 weeks, you know, before we start hearing, you know, fans pounding the table for Justin Fields, because if he can't get this offense at least upstarted to play a little bit better than the quarterback play it was last year, then he's going to be in huge trouble, man. But he wasn't terrible in Denver. I'm not going to bash him for his QB play over there in Denver. It just didn't work out between, you know, him and Sean Payton. But he needs to elevate this Pittsburgh Steelers game. You know, if they're going to have Arthur Smith there getting the run game going, and we know how good Russell Wilson is with play action. So he'll have the tools and resources in his bag to be able to be Russell Wilson that we like for fantasy and in real life football. But leash is going to be very short for him.
Do we all agree that Justin Fields will start some games this year?
Yes. Yeah, I actually think he starts more.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I think as passers, they're pretty close.
Right.
Fields has that huge dynamic, I can run for 1,000 yards and complete. And the way the Steelers play is ground and pound and rely on their defense. I think with both of them, the cap is probably like the seventh seed in the AFC. But yeah. Russ is the better passer. I'm not going to deny that, but I think it's close enough where Fields' rushing ability should give him the edge there, in my opinion. But do you guys think it's possible that we see an all-out committee here? Because I've seen people online suggesting that, like, Russ is here between the 20s quarterback, and in the red zone, you bring in Justin Fields.
Oh, that feels awful. That feels like a terrible idea.
I would not want to watch that game.
I mean, that's some high school level stuff, man. Like high school or like college
quarterback. So both of you go out there.
Yeah, I mean that. I think that disrupts your offense. It disrupts your timing with your wide receivers. I just think that's a completely, you know, because also at some point, I think you start to fall into tendencies, right? Where it's like when Justin Fields is out there, we know that you're going to, you know, run 80% of the time or whatever it is. I think you just, it gets too easy to fall into tendencies.
Or put Justin Fields at a wide receiver.
Yeah. I mean, forget the fantasy element of it. I just think from a real football element, that just seems like a terrible, terrible idea.
I would have a design play where he's a running back, though, and you pitch it to him and then he just like heaves it downfield to George Pickens.
Interesting. I don't know that Arthur Smith is that creative, though. Like that seems like a... I mean, that feels like, you know,
it feels like playing Madden.
Oh, yeah.
Like an Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan sort of thing. That doesn't feel like an Arthur Smith sort of thing. If anything, it'll be like, you know, they pitch it to Pat Freiermuth and he throws it downfield to Justin Fields or something like that, which, you know, that seems terrible. That seems absolutely terrible. I mean, either one of these guys excite you. I mean, obviously we can't, if Fields is the backup, we're not drafting Justin Fields. I don't feel like we can draft Russell Wilson either, though, at this point.
No, because it'll be a short rental. You'll be drafting him and knowing that at some point you're going to have to bench him forever. I mean, like, it's kind of like a fade for me now that Justin Fields is in play. But I will say I'll take those late round darts on Justin Fields, man, and redraft. But obviously for best ball, you know, you're going to get him there as well, just in case.
I think the ceiling for Russ, like I worst case scenario, Russ is like let's say he doesn't get benched. I think like low end QB two, best case is borderline QB one. Whereas for Justin Fields, I think best case scenario is he's a top five fantasy quarterback. So
lock
for
it.
Me, it's much, much easier. Like I hate this because I want Russ to get an opportunity to kind of go out on his own terms. But like Justin Fields should be starting. And especially as a guy who cares about fantasy, I want Justin Fields starting 17 games this year.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. It's not going to happen, but it'd be great.
If he starts nine, that's a win.
I guarantee you that in, you know, one of the leagues you're in, across the many, many leagues that we all play in, at some point this year, someone is going to say to you, and they will say it in this exact tone, I'm starting Russell Wilson this week. Because like they're going to have injuries, there's going to be a bye, and you're going to look at the schedule. And like, there's nothing out there on the waiver wire. It's going to be bleak. And you're going to look at the schedule and you'll be like, you know, I mean, this matchup, it's really good. Like I can tell myself a story where Russ gives me like 18 or 19 this week. Like you are going to talk to somebody who's just, and they're going to give you this big heavy sigh and this kind of sad look. And it's going to say, I'm starting Russell Wilson this week. Like that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen at some point this year. I know I'm not the one saying it, but it could be.
Same.
Who knows?
Same. But you know who I just thinking, Justin Fields is this year's Kyler Murray in the sense of like, you don't know when he's exactly going to play, but when he plays, the upside is top 10, maybe even higher at the quarterback position.
Totally. Absolutely. One other move of note that's happened in the last few days, Marquise Brown signs with the Chiefs on a 1-year deal for up to $11 million. Look, I had been saying Marquise Brown should go to the Chiefs for a while, so yay for me, I guess. currently the wide receiver 41 on Underdog, stacked between Chris Godwin and DeAndre Hopkins. Florio, are you cool with that?
Yeah, especially because on something like Underdog, best ball, you're talking big plays. I think Marquise Brown is going to kind of be what he has been the last couple of years, which is some down games, some really big games, better for best ball. But this was the optimal signing for the Chiefs. I agree with you, Marcus. I think this is going to help get them back to not what they were with Tyreek Hill, but closer to that. And I think this is great for like Rashee Rice. Like if you are a Rashee Rice fan, do not think that this is a bad thing. Yes, maybe Marquise Brown could take some more targets, but he's going to open up so much underneath and so much yards, like space after the catch, which is what Rice and Travis Kelce excel in. So I think he is the perfect complementary piece for those two.
Yeah, I mean, I think this thing works in so many levels for Marquise Brown. I think it works for the Chiefs offense completely. Laquan, does this mean Mahomes is back to being a top three fantasy quarterback off the board?
Top three, he's right there. I think this is a great move for him. This definitely does push him back up in the ranks of where you feel confident this year of taking Patrick Mahomes, where you're like, okay, I can expect some 20-point plus games from him. Marquise Brown definitely, he brings another element to that offense that they kind of were missing last year with the failed project of Kadarius Toney, but I really feel as though he's going to open up a ton for them. And, you know, you kind of look at, you know, Marquise Brown these last two seasons with the Cardinals. I mean, it wasn't good. I mean, he only had 13 games total with Kyler Murray, you know, with them both battling injuries back and forth. I mean, six different quarterbacks the last two seasons he's catching passes from. So his numbers are going to look down in his production and et cetera, because I was just looking at him, man. He generated 200 targets in the last two seasons, obviously being the one there at one point with DeAndre Hopkins, you know, injured, but he averaged the fewest yards per game. He had the fewest catches, the third fewest points per game among the 29, you know, other wide receivers that saw 200 plus targets the last two seasons. So it's like his numbers are down. His ADP is reflecting at 41. I'm buying into it because he's going to get a steady quarterback that's going to be Patrick Mahomes, that we know the proven talent is there to elevate every wide receiver, every pass catcher on that offense's game, other than Kadarius Toney. But Marquise Brown is going to go out there and do his thing that we know he knows how to do.
I mean, Marquise Brown is sort of the anti-Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson, we begged for him to get a quarterback all these years. You look at Marquise Brown's history. He's had Lamar Jackson. He's had Kyler Murray. Now he has Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's quality, man. That's nice work if you can get it. Absolutely nice work.
It is.
So, to me, I think there's four. Like, it's Allen, Hurts, Lamar, Mahomes. I think, to me, those should be the locked and loaded first four quarterbacks off the board.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
All right. So he's in the top four, just, you know, the order based on personal preference, I presume is what we are. All right. I think that's fair. Last thing real quick before we hit a break. Jerry Jeudy, the numbers for the contract are out.
Out of this world.
Yikes.
Lost for words.
3 years, a total of up to $58 million, $41 million guaranteed. This is the same team that, you know, dump trucked a ton of guaranteed money on Deshaun Watson. We know they got Amari Cooper. David Njoku really came through last year. They still have Elijah Moore. It just seems like a lot of money for a guy whose production so far has not been great in the first few years of his career.
Yeah, but it ain't tricking if you got it, man. I mean, if you got the money, go out there and get the talent. I honestly think, you know, they're paying Jerry Jeudy just based on his potential. They're going to try to unlock it, and they're going to put weapons around Deshaun Watson to set him up for success. But the problem is like, do we have the right attitude from Jerry Jeudy? Do we have the right system for Jerry Jeudy? Are we going to deploy him, utilize him in the right way and fashion? We don't know. But this is a lot of money, so they're going out there. They're going to try to add additions, you know, around Deshaun Watson and make him successful. But I don't agree with the contract. But we all laughed at Christian Kirk's contract, you know, when he got paid. So maybe it works out.
Maybe it works out. You're right. You know, we should reserve judgment. I think it caught everybody by surprise, the numbers that the Browns were willing to give Jeudy. And you're right. They are sort of basing it, I think, on what could be as opposed to what has been. We'll see if it works out. I think there's going to be a battle for that wide receiver two spot. At least I thought there was going to be between Jeudy and Elijah Moore. But now, after the money that I see coming through, maybe there won't be. Who knows? So we'll find out. Step away for a quick minute. We're going to come back. We're going to talk with Matthew Betts. Get some dynasty updates now that a whole lot of people have changed places in free agency. Stick around for that on the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thrilled now to be joined on the show by Matthew Betts. You can find him over on Twitter at TheFantasyPT. More importantly, you can find him as part of the NFL Media Podcast Network with the Fantasy Footballers and the Fantasy Football Dynasty Podcast. Matthew, appreciate you coming on. I've said before, like, this is sort of like a Marvel type crossover event. We're all in the same, cinematic podcast universe. So glad to have you on the show, man. How are things?
Yeah, things are good, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm always like this time of year, looking for shows to be on that I haven't been on before. It's just good to connect with different people and you know, talk ball a little bit. So I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm excited.
Totally. Absolutely. Look, the Dynasty community, you guys sort of, I won't say you're dormant during the season because everybody's still playing the game, but you guys really sort of come out of hibernation once we get to January, and then there are trades happening, there are evaluations, rookie drafts will be coming up in just a little bit, but I know free agency is a big time for a lot of folks. And a lot of players sort of moving up and down the rankings and probably changing hands across teams. So that's why I wanted to get you on to kind of talk about things now that we've kind of gotten through this major wave of free agency. And the first thing for me was Justin Fields is a name that everybody was sort of keen on, right? A youngish quarterback that had that rushing upside that seemed to be, you know, kind of in limbo of whether or not he was going to be a franchise quarterback in Chicago. Then we get the trade. He moves to Pittsburgh. He is behind Russell Wilson, at least for now, it seems. What does this do for his dynasty value? Are folks holding Justin Fields? How should dynasty managers be handling this?
Yeah, his value really has taken a massive hit, obviously, with the news that he has traded to the Steelers, which, you know, you could say, look, maybe he does win the starting job eventually over Russ, who is clearly not the same player he was, you know, 5 years ago in Seattle. That much is definitely true. But when I look at this offense and you think about Arthur Smith and Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, who, not a joke, I think want to win every game 17-14 if they can, right? They want to try to control the ball, run the ball, play really good defense. And the turnovers are a killer, right? So like for that style, that's a killer. I don't think Justin Fields fits that very well. Now, I like the move from an NFL standpoint for that team. Basically for free, they got him, right? I mean, low cost. And, you know, you get that quarterback room with Russ, who's being paid by Denver. Justin Fields on a very cheap, you know, trade. I like the money ball approach from Pittsburgh, especially with what they got from Kenny Pickett the last couple of years. So I like the move on that front. But for Dynasty, I think you just have to hold right now and you have to kind of hope that he takes over the job. The issue is there's, you know, in the comp pick situation, the Steelers are almost incentivized not to play him. In other words, they have to, you know, pay more to the Bears if he does, you know, play a certain number of snaps or a certain number of starts. I'm not sure the verbiage, but basically they're incentivized to play Russ in this situation. So it's a really tough sell for me on this year as far as trying to go out and get him. But if you've got him, I think you hold and you hope that he lands a starting job, you know, maybe the back half of this year, but into 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I was questioning myself and you explained it perfectly. I feel like you kind of hold and sit tight right now because we really don't know what's going on. I'm just happy, you know, from an NFL standpoint where he went, the location, and hopefully he could probably learn some things from Russell, maybe develop and kind of see what Arthur Smith has in store for him if he ends up staying. But the dynasty value did take a huge hit. But for me personally, I'm going to be out there buying. I'm a guy that's out there just curious to see, you know, what the price tag is kind of for Justin Fields. For somebody as a manager, I know you said you're holding, but you're probably not really that buying. But what would be the kind of like range and value and price of like a Justin Fields right now in the situation he's in?
Yeah, I think if you're talking like rookie picks, especially in a super flex format, honestly, I think the price is so cheap at this point. It's probably a mid to back end second round pick in a rookie draft, which the hit rate on those we know is quite terrible as is. Mm-hmm. This class, you know, there are some quality wide receivers that'll fall because of super flex format. So I get why you'd want the second, but I think that is kind of the fair range right now for his value. If you're hoping to get more, I don't see it out there. I have him in a league where, you know, I really was trying to move him quickly kind of before things settled when the market started to dry up for him. And it wasn't as robust of a trade market, just like the NFL, as I thought it'd be. So yeah, if you can get him on the cheap, you know, if it doesn't cost you much like the Steelers did, I get that. That's kind of where I see him valued.
Speaking of quarterbacks who have different situations now, it's a different world for Justin Herbert in Los Angeles. Jim Harbaugh's the head coach. Greg Roman's the offensive coordinator. These are two guys that historically have wanted to run the ball. Mike Williams now lands in New York with the Jets. Keenan Allen is at USC on Wednesday morning wearing Bears gear, checking out his potential new quarterback in Caleb Williams. How far is Justin Herbert falling now? Because this looks like a run-based offense for the Chargers.
Yeah, they have told us exactly what they want to do with their moves, right? You bring in Jim Harbaugh, you hire Greg Roman, you let go of both Big Mike and Keenan, and you sign two blocking tight ends and Gus Edwards on the first couple of days of free agency. So the writing's on the wall. Currently, they have four wide receivers on the roster. Now, of course, the NFL draft will happen, but as of right now, it's Quentin Johnston as the wide receiver one and Joshua Palmer.
Oh, God.
And it's really hard in fantasy, exactly, to be a good quarterback when you have minimal pass attempts, which I think is the case, obviously, and you don't have elite talent to help elevate your efficiency. So for a guy that's, you know, he could run for somewhere in the range of 300 to 500 yards, you know, in a good year, but like he's never going to be Lamar Jackson, obviously. So, man, this is so sad. I love Justin Herbert. I'm a big believer in him as a player. But for fantasy, like, I think when people stat him out come, you know, the start of the season, he's probably going to be somewhere in like the quarterback 14, 15, 16-ish range. Man, it's tough. And it's really sad because I think he's one of the best actual passers in the NFL.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, he's part of that 5,000 club, man. He threw for 5,000 yards not too long ago. And it's like, we're about to change the entire offense. We're about to kick everybody out, key pieces, man. Like, it's pretty nuts, but I kind of get the logic if you guys agree. Like, they didn't really do anything when they did have Keenan Allen healthy. They didn't really do anything when they had Austin Ekeler or Mike Williams. They weren't a powerhouse team. But my question is, like, what do I do with Justin Herbert right now? I mean, the writing's on the wall, like we talked about. Like, do I move him as a piece right now? And what would the price be looking like also?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, for dynasty leagues, I still am a believer in him as a player, like I said. So similar to the Fields thing, if there is a buying window, it's probably right now where everyone sees the moves they made. Everyone knows the hires they made. And it's like, oh, this is going to be terrible. But if you're a rebuilding team in dynasty, you're not a contender. I think it makes sense to try to go out and get Justin Herbert in the event that, hey, they do take a wide receiver at five, or they trade back and still get one of the wide receivers in this class that are top notch. And they do up Justin Herbert's rushing. So I see the path where it does work out down the line. But I think just with this year in mind, you need to be, I think, tempering expectations. But like I said, in dynasty, you know, I still believe in him. And year over year, it seems like the quarterback position in dynasty, especially Superflex, is way overvalued. You know, we talk about that a lot on our show where it's like, hey, I've got the quarterback, you know, 15, like he's locked in this year. Mac Jones isn't starting anymore. Derek Carr might not be starting much longer. Like these guys that you think you have and you just plug them in as your quarterback too, you probably don't because the NFL changes so quickly. But with Justin Herbert, there's no doubt he is there. So he at least has that security to his game.
Yeah, I mean, I've playing in super flex leagues, dynasty or otherwise. I mean, I think I've gotten to a point where depending on the quarterbacks on my roster or on the board, sometimes it makes more sense to just have that position be maybe another wide receiver or somebody like that, you know, as opposed to trying to just, you know, shoehorn a quarterback in there just because he is a quarterback. You know, what's the point? That guy's only going to give you 15 points. You could probably get 16 or 17 out of somebody at a different position. I mean, I think that's sort of a mindset that I think, you know, playing super flex, you kind of have to learn to get out of a little bit. But since we're talking about quarterbacks, let's kind of keep this theme going because I think a lot of them were impacted during free agency. The Jaguars lose Calvin Ridley. They bring in Gabe Davis. Davis, never a guy who could succeed. And a really great offense with Josh Allen as quarterback. Now he goes to Trevor Lawrence. Do these changes make you concerned at all about T-Law down there in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it's so tough, right? Because like I do think he is a talented NFL quarterback. But for fantasy, you know, when he was coming out of school, out of Clemson, kind of like similar to the Caleb Williams feeling, it was like, oh, this can't miss. This is definitely going to work. No questions asked. Now, granted, his rookie year was a complete disaster. Thank you, Urban Meyer. But we need to be realistic about who Trevor Lawrence is for fantasy, which I think is a good back-end quarterback one, maybe high-end quarterback two when you talk about, you know, 12-man leagues. But is he ever going to be a top five guy? I highly doubt it. We haven't seen a huge ceiling from him as a runner. We haven't seen him have an outlier touchdown season. And now you lose Calvin Ridley, who, you know, I don't know that he was maybe a real one for fantasy, certainly not, but like the NFL clearly viewed him that way. You lose him and you've got a three wide receiver set currently as it stands of Gabe Davis, Zay Jones. We'll see if they move on from him or not. And Christian Kirk. So it's not inspiring. And I think if there's someone else out there in dynasty circles that kind of views him as a locked in top 10 guy moving forward, I'd probably be looking to get out from that personally. I don't see a huge ceiling again. I think he's fine. I think he can give you quarterback 12 numbers, but in today's game, that doesn't really move the needle a lot for fantasy.
No, I completely agree. I'm on the same side. He's not living up to expectations whatsoever. And as a manager who has him on a ton of leagues, it's like 2022 was such a building block for him where it's like, okay, we got 30 touchdowns out of Trevor Lawrence, you know, total. So let's try to keep this going. And then kind of takes, you know, a downslide. You know, he did get banged up and Calvin Ridley just clearly didn't work with that system that they had going on, not utilizing him properly. So I think this will be the time, another window to try to get off of Trevor Lawrence, because I think his name still sells as a, you know, NFL stud. You know what I mean? Like, people think that he's this QB1 that we talk about amongst the Joe Burrows, the Josh Allens and stuff. But when we look at it for fantasy, this isn't a guy I really want on my roster where I have a roster of Derek Carrs and Kirk Cousins and et cetera. You know what I mean? Like, this is a real roster I have right now. I'm in pain right now, but
that's a menu of mid is what you got right there. Oh yeah, on that roster.
It's the mid off. That's the name of my team, the mid off.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Trevor Lawrence. I think you guys have hit the nail on the head. Is that Trevor Lawrence? He's not a bad quarterback, but he's not the, you know, generational franchise guy that he was projected to be coming out of Clemson. You know, how much of that is on Trevor Lawrence? How much of that is on us with our lofty expectations? We can debate that for a while. Not similar expectations for Will Levis, but definitely there were some expectations, some hope that Will Levis could help turn things around in Tennessee. And this year, I think he finally gets a true opportunity to do that. They go get Calvin Ridley. They bring in Tony Pollard. It looks like they want to throw the football more. Are dynasty managers buying Will Levis right now, Matthew?
I don't think they are, really. I haven't seen a huge market for him in the leagues that I play in. I get why you'd be excited, because, you know, they bring in a definitely more pass-friendly offense. They still have DeAndre Hopkins. They bring in Calvin Ridley to a massive, massive contract. And they bring in two, you know, non-Derrick Henry-esque running backs that kind of win in space, right? Very different, you know, skill sets in Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard. So I get why you'd be excited, because they are surrounding him with those weapons. The issue for me is that I'm just a firm believer in when a player shows you who they are. I'm not saying these guys need to be superstars right out of the gate, but when they show you who they are, that's usually who they are, especially at the quarterback position. And he was a big time, you know, liability against pressure last year. Just cannot see pressure whatsoever. The offensive line is still a mess. So if their plan is to up the pass rate and drop back Will Levis a ton, I'm worried about that. Now, they could certainly take an offensive tackle at 7th overall, and that would help, certainly. But I'm not a Will Levis guy. I don't see him as a sticking around as a starter in the NFL for very long. So right now in dynasty leagues, if there is an opportunity to get out from Will Levis, I think it's right now.
I got to be honest. I ain't got nothing for Will Levis. I mean, I completely agree. I got nothing for Will Levis.
This hot take or something, man.
I know.
No. I was waiting for something. No.
I mean, I think it is kind of wish casting, right? I mean, I think if you've got Will Levis, maybe you're keeping your fingers crossed and hoping he develops into something.
I'm curious. He has a big arm. He got some weapons on the perimeter now. You know,
are you curious enough to kick the tires?
No.
All right. No. Then that so be it. That right, exactly. I think that's sort of the end of that one there. A lot of veteran running backs changing teams this past this offseason, I guess this past couple of weeks. You know, Saquon, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry. Of the guys who moved and have new landing spots, which one have you seen get sort of the biggest bump in interest in dynasty leagues?
I think everyone right now is hot and heavy for Josh Jacobs. Because when you look at just the Green Bay Packers running back room as a whole over the last several years, it's been one we want to invest in, right? They've been very good. Even A.J. Dillon, who was terrible last year from an efficiency standpoint, but there was years where A.J. Dillon was pretty good in that backfield. So I think people are just, you know, they see the four-year contract with a major asterisk next to it for Josh Jacobs, because it's really a one-year deal worth about $14 million. And there's three option years for Green Bay. So right now, for me, I have Josh Jacobs in a couple leagues. I'm excited about the landing spot, but I think he might be overvalued in Dynasty for a couple of reasons. One is the contract, which, again, is a little bit misleading. The other thing is that, you know, and he did hold out for the entire offseason, so that played a role in it, but there's no way to really, you know, argue. Like, he was one of the worst running backs in football last year, and if he goes to the situation, it doesn't work out, and Green Bay says, you know what, we're not going to take those three extra years with you, you're stuck holding the bag again in Dynasty. So I'm trying to kind of strike while the iron's hot and maybe move on from Josh Jacobs and see if I can get an early first this year in the rookie draft, or, you know, swap and upgrade at the position if I can.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely, if you can go in that early round and in that first round and try to get, you know, team needs, I will be willing to move over Josh Jacobs, you know, based on last season's performance. But more so, I'm just really, this is where I'm curious and where I'm kicking the tires on this. Well, I have acquired some Josh Jacobs for, you know, basically a late first round, but I definitely think that his ability to be used in the passing game will help his PPR, his upside. And I think that more so with the electric young talent that the Packers have on that perimeter and et cetera, there's going to be a lot of interchanging of where, you know, Christian Watson, he's probably not going to be available for X amount of weeks, blah, blah, blah. Jaden Reed is the electric offense. And you get that run game going with the play action with Jordan Love. I think we can actually get a good, balanced, decent Josh Jacobs this season. I just don't see him being the workhorse he was over there in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think some of this too comes back to, like, depending on who you're targeting. And Matthew, you kind of talked about this with Justin Herbert. Some of it depends on your positioning, right? If you are a team that feels like you are trying to win now, you know, maybe you take a chance on somebody with these, maybe with a little bit of a shorter runway, right? I mean, Derrick Henry, obviously at age 30, maybe not as valuable as he once was, but in a position to be productive. If that helps you, I think you go do that. I think Josh Jacobs gives you a little more leeway. That 4 years, being a little bit younger, gives you a little bit more time to play with. Is there a strong running back market outside of, like, you know, you mentioned Josh Jacobs, but I mean, obviously people are still interested in Christian McCaffrey, probably less so because he's a year older, but Bijan, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, I'd imagine are very popular. Is there a strong running back market out there right now?
Not in Dynasty, man. I mean, it really is like that. I mean, like, you can include CMC, I guess, in that kind of top four, but really, like, those top three stud young running backs who the offseason has gone great for Breece Hall with investing in the offensive line. Obviously, you bring in Mike Williams, another weapon there. Aaron Rodgers, presumably healthy. And then Bijan gets rid of Arthur Smith and brings in Kirk Cousins. It's like these two both have seen their situation improve. And Gibbs showed us everything we were looking for last year. So, like, that big three, you know, they are the cornerstones of the running back position in Dynasty. And beyond that, you kind of have like a middle tier, I think, where it's like, okay, maybe you can make an argument for Devon Achane or Kyren Williams or Jonathan Taylor, maybe Travis Etienne. But after that, it's just like a bunch of guys. You know, it's really tough from a dynasty value standpoint beyond those guys. And I think part of the reason for that is because this year's rookie running back class is not quite as strong. We probably will have a hit or two in that class, but relative to last year where it's like, oh, we're getting Bijan and Gibbs in the top 12 of the NFL draft, we're not getting anything close, obviously. And so these kind of free agents that had, I think the writing was on the wall. Maybe they're starting to decline a little bit, like the Joe Mixons of the world, maybe Derrick Henry, like those kind of guys. They now have a second chance, right, to kind of rebound in value. So in my personal approach, I'm trying to kind of take more of a money ball approach here with running back where, you know, if I am a contender, I don't really want to go out and pay top dollar for, you know, Jonathan Taylor when I maybe get 80% of the production from someone like Joe Mixon in a good offense, you know, someone like that. Derrick Henry, if the touchdown variance goes his way, a la Gus Edwards. That's kind of my approach right now in Dynasty with running backs because it is, I think, a pretty big drop off after the top four.
Last one here. Appreciate the time. Look, I know we're talking free agency, but the draft obviously coming around again. I mean, the wide receiver class has been lauded, heralded as being really, really great, really, really deep. The top three in whatever order you want to put them, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, for dynasty managers, which one of these guys is the biggest no-brainer regardless of landing spot?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the chalk here. I'm going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. He's been the dude for the last couple of years. It's like as soon as we knew he was going to declare, like he's clearly the guy. And I know there's been a little bit of buzz this week and saying, hey, there's some teams out there that might have Malik Nabers over him. I get it. But like, are we just kind of getting, you know, prospect fatigue at this point and kind of forgetting how good Marvin Harrison Jr. is? To me, he's the guy in this class and he's going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, I think a prospect fatigue has become real, especially with guys like Marvin Harrison, guys like Caleb Williams that we have been talking about for 2 years now. I mean, to the point that we're starting to nitpick literally everything. I saw a tweet this morning that said, oh, Caleb showed up late to his pro day. You take from that what you will. And I'm like, I take nothing from it. I don't care.
What color was his nails?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. So I think we have reached prospect fatigue time. And the good news is we still have like 6 weeks to go until the draft. So
that's good. Wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong? Exactly. Matthew, Betts, appreciate the time. For folks who are uninitiated, where can they find your stuff?
Yeah, man, everything with the Fantasy Footballers. We've got the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty Show going on right now. And then you can catch me throughout the summer and then in season as well on the DFS and Betting Podcast. Fun show I do with Kyle Borgononi. We talk a lot about best ball in the summer, some, you know, NFL futures betting, MVP markets, offensive player of the year, stuff like that. And then in season, it's the weekly grind of DFS for us. So a lot of fun, but always good things happening with the Ballers.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad to have you guys in the family. Guys, it's been almost a year now at this point, but the first time we've been able to get you on the show. So looking forward to what you guys have this offseason and the season as well. Matthew, take care, man. Be well. Hopefully we can connect soon.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Take a quick break. Come back. We're going to talk some draft needs. Diving into Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock draft. DJ chooses violence. We got that coming up next on the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks to Matthew Betts. Be sure to check out the Fantasy Footballers Dynasty podcast, wherever you download fine podcasts, part of the NFL Media Podcast Network. Speaking of Dynasty, the draft is creeping up. I don't know. It's still what? 6 weeks away, basically, until we start drafting. And so that means we are heavy in the midst of mock draft season. Daniel Jeremiah, our own draft guru, has just put out his mock draft 3.0. And as he said on Twitter, he chose chaos with this one. and he was absolutely right. Some of the highlights in this. He's got the Vikings trading up to number 4 to take J.J. McCarthy. So he's got 4 quarterbacks in the first 4 picks, right? He's got Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy all in the first 4 picks off the board. He's got the Jets moving up to number 5 to take Marvin Harrison Jr. He's got the Bears taking Rome Odunze at number 9. He's got Brock Bowers going to the Broncos at number 12. I'm trying to think of something. Michael Penix at 13 to the Raiders. Some things to chew on in this mock draft from Daniel Jeremiah. First off, anything in that list there, Florio, that I read off that really, really kind of blows your mind?
The one thing I had never considered was the Jets moving up to 5 to get Marvin Harrison Jr. And look, I'm a known Jets hater. That's not a surprise, but that would be a tremendous move for them, for the off, and not just for this year. Like, yes, Aaron Rodgers would have two tremendous, but long term, you're talking about that's probably I wouldn't even say probably. I would say that is the best young 1-2 punch in the NFL. So even if Aaron Rodgers becomes president or whatever in a year, he is not the Jets quarterback. Whoever comes into that situation would be coming into one of the, with Breece Hall there as your running back, you're talking about, and the O-line investments they made, that is a tremendous offense for any quarterback.
Yeah, it looks like Aaron Rodgers may not be the VP nominee. In fact, it looks like they may be going with somebody off the Shanahan tree. Sort of joking.
I wasn't sure if you were being serious.
Yeah, sort of saying, wait. Sort of joking, but not. Yeah. Anyway, just Google it. You'll find out yourself. Laquan, you quote tweeted this and you talked about the Brock Bowers at 12 to the Broncos. That sort of hurts my heart.
Yeah, that was beefy. That was just like, what? Like, this is crazy. I mean, it would be a Sean Payton move. I mean, best available is what Daniel Jeremiah said in this article. That'll be best available player right there. But I got to say, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I think Rob Bowers would be instant fantasy gem right there to where he'll be a lock in that top three, just getting fed targets. I mean, you might have Jared Stanham throwing you the ball, but hey, volume is king.
I don't feel like you can discount that, though, until they figure out the quarterback situation, because
it's nasty.
It's
I'm just
bad.
Excited to see it, though. I kind of want to see it.
And look, I know we got all excited, right, because we saw rookie tight ends do things this past year, right? When Sam LaPorta is going out and being the tight end one, when we see Dalton Kincaid having flashes, we're seeing a lot of these young tight ends do things. The connective tissue is that those guys had decent quarterbacks and were good in good offenses. And right now, you can't say that about the Broncos. I mean, I like Greg Dulcich enough coming out of college, and he had some decent moments in his rookie season. And then the wheels, you know, I won't say they fell off, but he just kind of disappeared. So, like, I don't want Brock Bowers to go to Denver. I just don't.
Hey, maybe Drew Brees is coming out of retirement, man. Never know.
His arm move. Is shot. Like, he's going to throw left-handed? Like, what's going to happen? I don't want this, man.
He chose chaos. He woke up with wild energy doing this mock draft, by the way. But shout out Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah, man. It's like Drew Brees just recently said, like, his right arm doesn't work. When he plays with his kids, he throws left-handed. Like,
that's not funny, actually.
That works in the backyard with your kids. That does not work when you're facing down, you know, Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins a couple times a year, right? Like, when you're dealing with Chris Jones in your face, like, you try to toss the ball left-handed, it's probably not going to work out consistently. That's just my thought there. Looking around, though, at some of the other things that potentially could happen, one of the questions I asked was, do the Vikings move up to get a quarterback? According to DJ, he's suggesting maybe they get up to get J.J. McCarthy. If that happens, Florio, I mean, does he start over Sam Darnold right away, or does he sit and watch? And what does this mean for Justin Jefferson?
I could see it going either way. You never know with these teams. I am of the mindset that, like, hey, if you drafted him, moved up, already made a trade to get a second first-round pick, and then if you give up both of those plus more to move up to get this kid, start him right away. But teams sometimes like to use this bridge quarterback. Either way, we're going to see J.J. McCarthy by October if this situation plays out. So Justin Jefferson, it's still a downgrade from Kirk Cousins, and I would be saying that about really any outside of Caleb maybe, but even Caleb, like, not as proven, not the chemistry isn't there. There's going to be some growing pains. So I think going from a veteran like Kirk to any of these quarterbacks is a immediate 2024 downgrade, but he's still Justin Jefferson. J.J. McCarthy is a really toolsy quarterback prospect. So I think that he'll be fine. He's still a first round wide receiver, but I don't think he is the wide receiver one anymore. In fact, I think he's closer to 5 than to 1 at the wide receiver position, but he's still Justin Jefferson.
I mean, Laquan, we talk about Brock Bowers, you know, DJ mocking him to the Denver Broncos. Don't they have to get a quarterback? I mean, don't they have to try and move up and do something to get a quarterback? They can't go into the year with Jarrett Stidham as their number one, right?
No, they absolutely have a plan. I like them getting aggressive, going up and getting JJ, kind of locking that up. And so I really feel as though, you know, they come in and get a quarterback, they definitely need it.
Yeah, I mean, they have to do something. It can't be. And I think, you know, for Sean Payton, honestly, Sean Payton going after J.J. McCarthy would seem to make a lot of sense. It just feels like he wants a toolsy guy who he can sort of, you know, mold a little bit.
I feel like Bo Nix is his guy. Like a veteran quarterback coming out of college. But I also could see the Broncos completely punting this year and saying, we have to clear all this cap. Let's go without a quarterback and just ensure us that we have a top two or three pick next year. But it'll be really rough for a year.
That's going to be really rough, especially because the consensus right now is that next year's quarterback draft class is not very exciting, which is why supposedly we have all these teams trying to elbow each other to move up. It's why the Bears, the Commanders, and the Patriots reportedly are not interested in moving out of the top three, because they feel like this is their best chance over the next couple of years to find the guy who can be the guy. I can't speak to what Sean Payton is going to do, what his mindset is, but it feels like punting on quarterback this year is an awful idea, but that's just me. I gotta ask you this, Florio, because do the Bills, do they target a wide receiver in the first round?
I hope so. But I like that. I think the Curtis Samuel signing allows them to look, they have to take a wide receiver in the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of draft capital this year, 11 picks. So they potentially maybe move up in the second or something like that. I'm hoping they take their guy in the first, but I think with Curtis Samuel, the fact that he could play outside and in the slot is more of a yak guy than they've had, and has some speed there as well. He kind of gives them the versatility where if they're not in love with someone in round one, maybe they wait for someone in round two. But either way, I think it's going to be a not the best fan. Like, you would think, okay, great fantasy landing spot with Josh Allen, but I think like they're not going to get one of the big names of this class, like the top three. So whoever they get, I could see being a rotational piece with sometimes like the rookie plays out wide and Samuel plays in the slot. Sometimes Samuel's out wide and Shakir's in the slot. And then you have Dalton Kincaid getting mixed in there as well. So I think they should be in the, I think they're 100% in the market for one. I think they will draft one early. I'm just not entirely sure it's going to be a first round pick because they've never taken one. This regime has never taken one in the first round.
I was going to ask you about the Curtis Samuel thing too. It sounds like you're in on Curtis Samuel.
When it first happened, I was like, okay, this is a solid depth signing. But the more I looked at him, the more I'm like, his best year ever came with Joe Brady. He's got some untapped speed, and friend of the show, Matt Harmon, loves him. So that's enough for me.
I feel like your description of it is how most of fantasy Twitter sort of approached it. Like it was a signing that kind of went under the radar. It didn't get a ton of fanfare, but I think when people kind of started to dive into what it means in the context of that offense and who Curtis Samuel has been as a player, I think the consensus has been like, no, this could be really good. There's the potential for it to be really good.
Yeah. He's been a contributor, man, even with the Commanders with his time over there battling injury. I mean, he's a guy you can move around the offense. You can even put him out of the backfield. I mean, that's great for Josh Allen to have a guy like that, you know, on the offense where he could look for him anywhere on the playbook and he'll be there for him. He's a reliable wide receiver. I like him.
Yeah, 100%. Anyway, I just kind of dive into some of the draft stuff a little bit. Now that we are mostly through the free agent period, we can sort of turn our attention to it. We're still, you know, at some point, we're still trying to get Bucky Brooks on. We'll get some of our friends across the industry who are scouts. I mean, they, look, at some point, we got to get Harmon on because, you know, he's yes. better to talk about wide receivers than Matt Harmon. Maybe get our old pal Joel Smith on too, because he's doing a lot of really good kind of scouting stuff. He's a good guy to talk to. And plus, he's our pal. So why not get Joel on?
Exactly. And Matt Okada too.
And Matt Okada, who's another wide receiver whisperer out there. Get his thoughts on some of these wide receivers out there that are available in the draft. Couple of program notes for you. We will have a special edition of NFL Fantasy Live coming to you on Thursday. It's our free agency frenzy. If I were more prepared, I would tell you what time exactly the show is airing. Actually, it airs at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern. I pulled up my email just in time to tell you that right now. So be sure to check that out coming on Thursday evening. And we'll be back with you on Thursday, sort of midday, to give you another episode of the Fantasy Cheat Sheet. So check us out streaming live. You can check any one of our Twitter feeds to kind of let you know when that is hitting. So we will get you that again. And hopefully you guys can jump in and be part of the chat and be interactive with us, because that's the whole point of the show. That's what we like. That is what we want from you and for us. In the meantime, that'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. Enjoy the week, everybody, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.